The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Dan Orlovsky going to stop by 20 minutes from now. Adam Pac-Man Jones an hour 20 from now. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Charles Davis from CBS will swing by as well. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
I got to start off the show with the two most disappointing players of divisional round weekend. And that's Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills, that was supposed to be a game that was going to be tight. It was supposed to be a shootout. It was supposed to be a classic game where it had the feel of an AFC title game, even though it was being played in the divisional round. And early on from the jump, the Buffalo Bills had no life and were embarrassing. And this is now a team in Buffalo that for the last 2 years, and we love what they're building in Buffalo, but for the last 2 years, it felt like it was their year. And last year, you know, it ended in absolute heartbreak. Had the lead, 13 seconds to go, could not stop Mahomes and company. They lose in overtime. But heading into this year, and I said it to their general manager, Brandon Bean, when he was on this show, anything short of winning a Super Bowl is a colossal failure for the Buffalo Bills. Forget a Super Bowl. They didn't even get back to an AFC title game. And they lose once again in the divisional round. They haven't been in an AFC title game in 3 years since they lost to Kansas City. So you go through what the Bills did yesterday. It is a terrible, awful ending to a season that had a lot of hope and had a lot of promise. But if you're a Bills fan, you get tortured by this team again. And you're starting to see something with Buffalo that we have talked about, our one concern about Buffalo all throughout the year. And I'll give credit to Hickey about this, because he was slamming the desk at the deadline. They got to go get Christian McCaffrey. They got to go get Josh Jacobs, whoever the running back was. McCaffrey ended up getting traded to San Francisco. San Francisco now this weekend in the NFC title game in Philadelphia. The Bills, they got Nyheim Hines, who I know is a good returner. But when you go into a playoff run, and I know Devin Singletary is a good locker room guy, and he has these stretches where he looks really good, but he's not consistent. And James Cook is a rookie. You had a roster that we thought was good enough to go all the way. You should not have left any stone unturned, and they did. They took a gamble. And what the Bills continue to do is put everything on the plate of Josh Allen. There's one big fat problem when you do that, and I think the world of Josh Allen. When Josh doesn't play well, the entire team has no life. And it was very early on in that game. Bengals get the ball. Boom, 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 right down the field. They're in the end zone to Jamar Chase for a touchdown. The Bills get the ball back. Stephon Diggs on third down is open. Josh Allen misses him. And that took all the air out of the balloon in Buffalo, and it was an ass-kicking that the Cincinnati Bengals delivered to the Buffalo Bills in their house. And this Bengals team continues to feel like they're disrespected. This Bengals team is now 60 minutes away from going to back-to-back Super Bowls. And I said this on the air on Friday, even though I picked the Bills, that I thought Joe Burrow was the second-best quarterback in the league, that he was better than Josh Allen. And if Joe Burrow beats the Chiefs for a fourth straight time and then is able to hoist that Lombardi trophy 2 weeks after that, you can make a claim that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in football. And as much as we talked about Josh Allen coming up small on a big stage, where last year we know he was not the reason, where he played two flawless playoff games, but this time around he came up small on the biggest stage. But I also have to go after that Buffalo defense, because that Buffalo defense in the final 13 seconds last year, embarrassing. Sean McDermott has done a wonderful job in Buffalo. Last 2 years in the playoffs, embarrassing. But that defense, all week long, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that does a radio show, all week long was saying about Cincinnati, including yours truly, they don't have Lael Collins. They don't have Alex Kappa. They don't have Jonah Williams. We know Joe Burrow just went to a Super Bowl a stinking year ago with no offensive line. With three starters out, how the Buffalo Bills got zero pressure on Joe Burrow. And I know Joe Burrow got the ball quickly, but they didn't even make him break a sweat. His uniform, it wasn't even dirty. How they didn't capitalize off that is just flat out disgraceful. I know you win as a team, you lose as a team. But really, that Buffalo Bills team, no one showed up yesterday. You got Stephon Diggs mad at Josh Allen after the game, quickly dipped out of the locker room. Josh Allen did nothing in that contest. The offensive line for Buffalo was horrible. And defensively, where they had a major advantage up against that Bengals offensive line, it looked like this Bengals offensive line had 10-time Pro Bowlers all across the line. How did you not get to the quarterback? It's crazy. So on one hand, it's respect to Cincinnati. On the other hand, in a game that could go either way, that we all expected it to be close, it is a massive disappointment from the Buffalo Bills. So that's the reaction to Bills-Bengals, as now the Bengals are off to the AFC title game for the second year in a row up against Kansas City. Now on the other side, let's get to the Dallas Cowboys. I know it was an uphill battle going into this game. We all know that the San Francisco 49ers headed into this game won 11 games in a row. We all know that from a roster construction standpoint, the 49ers can run circles around Dallas. Dallas could have won that game. Dallas should have won that game. And for the second consecutive year, that defense for Dallas did their job. They did their job last year. They did their job this year. And all Dak Prescott had to do was lead that team to victory. Dak Prescott didn't need to be sensational. Dak Prescott didn't need to be a top five quarterback. Dak Prescott just had to outplay Brock Purdy and be serviceable, be above average. And he couldn't do that. And going into that game, and I thought Dallas was very much alive. I told you, I plus the 4 points, another wonderful gambling pick by yours truly that I got wrong. No one's a worse gambler this NFL postseason than yours truly. But throughout the week, I talked myself into going with the Dallas Cowboys. And they should have won that game. And I have so much respect for the San Francisco 49ers, but they should have won that game, because even me being a Dak Prescott critic and someone that's saying he's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, and I don't think you win a Super Bowl with him, if I would have told you that Brock Purdy and that offense wouldn't be as sharp as we've seen them, and the Dallas defense was going to hold the 49ers to 19 points, I would have thought Dallas would have been able to get to 20. Like, that's the thing. We weren't asking Dallas to win in a high-octane offense shootout. We were asking Dallas to get to 20 points, and they couldn't do that. And many of the mistakes go back to the quarterback. You get something to work in your way on the special teams when they muff a punt. You take the ball over inside the 25-yard line, had to settle for a field goal. Missed opportunity. Interception early on, bad job. You're driving late before the end of the first half. I know it was a fortuitous bounce, but it wasn't the greatest throw in the world. I know it got deflected, but it got picked off. And really, when I started to get nervous about Dallas, was when they took Tony Pollard, when Tony Pollard had to leave the game and they took him off the field because of the injury. Because when he got injured, if you've been watching the Cowboys on offense, and this shows you how the Cowboys aren't a good team, when your running back is your most valuable player, that's a problem. And you know Zeke does not have the same explosiveness as he once had. And when he needed to be the featured back, that's not a recipe to win. And you needed your $40 million quarterback to elevate the team. You needed, if you're a Cowboys fan, your $40 million quarterback just to get to 20 points. And you're paying that guy that much money on a lucrative deal, and the facts are he couldn't elevate the team. The facts are he only scored 12 points. They only could get to 12 points. They needed to get to 20. I'm not asking you to reach for the stars. I'm not asking you to score 40 points, 50 points, 20 points. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys couldn't do it. And even with them struggling on offense throughout the entirety of the game, they had the ball late. They had the ball late, and they were getting ready to drive, getting ready to save face. And as quickly as you thought about that opportunity, it went in one ear and out the other because they went three and out. Dak almost got sacked. Dak almost took a safety, and they had to punt the football. And when they get the ball back that final time, I don't know what McCarthy was doing, but did it even matter? No, there was no way they were getting down the field and scoring a touchdown. That's just a miserable performance. Like, I know in one breath you could praise Dallas, I'm sure, because many people were on the Niners, and like Hickey, who was on the Niners and said they were going to cover the spread, and he thought they were going to blow them out. And Hickey even said it to me today. He goes, oh, like San Francisco, that game was a lot closer than I thought. But in the end, the better team won. In the end, the drama Dallas choking Cowboys were, well, the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. So I don't even want to sit here and praise Dallas for making this a game, because still, in their biggest moment, their offense failed them. And that can't happen when you have an offensive-minded head coach whose clock management is terrible and his team doesn't rise to the big occasion unless he has Aaron Rodgers. And your quarterback, I don't want to hear, oh, the offensive line, oh, you know, they lose Tony Pollard. Like, I get it. You can make excuses. Oh, they don't have Amari Cooper anymore. Well, don't trade him for nothing. Once again, I'm not asking them to play a perfect game. I'm not asking them to be sensational. All you're asking them to do is simply get to 20 points, and they couldn't do that yesterday. So you look at Buffalo, and you look at the Dallas Cowboys, both of them have similarities. And I know Josh Allen is perceived to be a much better quarterback than Dak Prescott. I'm not saying Dak is this great quarterback, but both quarterbacks failed their teams in the biggest moment and could not elevate their teams. For Buffalo, game was a blowout. But for the Dallas Cowboys, you're really going to be kicking yourselves over this one. Because you had San Francisco in a game. You could have defeated them. And your offense wasn't able to put the ball in the end zone enough. Just boneheaded plays. Like, even on special teams, you got to beat a kicker. And you run right into your kicker on a kick return. Like, what the heck are you doing? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to David in Buffalo. Listen on Sirius XM Channel 158. He wants to talk about the Bills. David, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. Appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. Couple points on this game from yesterday with the Bills. Number one, to me, Sean McDermott has turned into Marty Schottenheimer. He can win in the regular season, but come playoff time, his teams fade, you know, and I feel like they, you know, up front, they're not tough. To me, you think of Buffalo, you think of, like, you know, the playoffs, you got to run the football, you got to stop the run, all the cliches. The Bills couldn't do any of that yesterday, and Josh was not good yesterday, let's be honest.
He was bad.
It's so much more than him, though, I feel like. I feel like, to me, who besides Diggs scares you as a receiver? Hell, they had to call Cole Beasley, who was retired practically, to play receiver.
And they used him a lot. He was targeted a bunch yesterday. And that's fair. I know we all went into the year saying that the Buffalo Bills probably on paper have the best roster in the NFL. But as the season did go on, that ended up turning out to be not true. You're not wrong on that. They're going to have to reconstruct the offensive line, David. They're going to have to go get a running back. And they're going to need to get another wide receiver. Because I like Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is good, but Is he a normal number two wide receiver? Probably no. The reason why we all like him so much is because he comes up big in the big moments. But yesterday, no one really showed up and balled out for the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Sean in Charlotte next up on CBS Sports Radio on the Zach Gelb Show. Sean, what do you got?
I just want your honest opinion because as a Cowboys fan, I'm so frustrated because of the fact that this is all on Dak Prescott. This is not about Mike McCarthy. This is not about Kellen Moore. And the fact that the media put out there, oh, you have to pay Dak Prescott. You have to pay Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones franchised him for a reason. And everybody said he was wrong and he should pay him. And, like, now you see the result. So what is he supposed to do?
Well, Sean, let me ask you this. You had to pay Dak Prescott, and this is the toughest part in the NFL. When you have a good quarterback who's not a great quarterback, he gets great quarterback money. And that can affect the rest of the roster because you have so much money allocated to a certain position. But who are you bringing in realistically that would have made you say, okay, we'll let just Dak Walker, or you would have traded Dak Prescott for? Realistically, who would you be bringing in?
You know what? I would have took my chances on that because they've seen – you had 7 years of Dak Prescott. You've seen what he was. So at that point, I'll take my chances.
Well, here's the good thing. You only got 2 years left on the contract, but as Dak showed you once again, Sean, in a big moment, in a big spot, not even needed to be great. Like, that's the thing. And one thing if we said we needed Dak to be great, like you needed Dak to be great if you're a Cowboys fan. You just needed him to be good. And how many times do I say Dak's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback? He couldn't even be good yesterday. I know I've said it 9,000 times in the segment. I'll say it again. All he had to do was get to 20 points. I know the Niners' defense is unreal. But there was multiple opportunities for him to put the ball in the end zone. And whenever they were there, he did not latch on to them. And he did not kick down the door and say, this is the Dak Prescott game. Bills disappointing. Dallas disappointing. We'll take a break here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we will recap all of divisional round weekend. We'll turn the page to conference championship weekend with Dan Orlovsky.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires. Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, it is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now as conference championship weekend is set. And we'll welcome in a former NFL QB. Now does a great job for ESPN, and that's Dan Orlovsky. Dan, how you been, my friend?
I've been good, bud. Good to be back with you, man. I'm hoping you're well.
Yeah, Dan, I'm doing fantastic and appreciate you jumping on board with us. I just want to start you off with that Bengals-Bills game. All week long, we heard about the injuries up front with the three offensive linemen being out for Cincinnati. I was just shocked, though, how Buffalo wasn't able to make them pay up front. What did you see happen with the Bills' defense just not being able to get home against Joe Burrow and company?
Yeah, I think number one, when it came to the run game, it was really smart by Brian Callahan. We got to remember he's Bill Callahan, longtime NFL offensive line coach's kid. So he understands offensive line play really well. And with those three backups in, didn't ask them to pass protect for a significant amount of time, nor did they ask them to do it a lot early on. So it was like, hey, let's allow these guys to fire off the football mentality-wise. The second thing, they took advantage of Buffalo trying and want to staying in nickel defense, five defensive backs on the field, and they ran at the nickel a bunch. So they got offensive linemen or tight ends on a smaller player defensively. That helped them run the football with a bunch of different kinds of runs. And then Joe, I've said this for 2 years now, Joe is the best guy in the NFL when it comes to understanding what he needs to do versus that defense that week. Like, what are the two or three things that he's got to make sure he does and or doesn't do to beat that team? And it varies week to week. And I thought Joe's understanding of coverage rotation, getting the ball out quickly, attacking zone versus them was typical Joe. And that benefits them. And I'd also say this, Zach, like, their three wide receivers set, everything runs through Jamar. And the different places that they place him really makes it challenging on a defense.
Did it surprise you with the end result that we saw yesterday?
No, not in Buffalo. Are you talking about the Buffalo-Cincy game? No. You know, Zach, I said this like 2 months ago, man. Buffalo's offense not nearly as talented as people think. And they all, like, I got killed over it. Here's the reality. Right tackle's not a very good player. Left tackle, Dawkins struggled. The interior of their offensive line's getting older. That's the superstar. Gabe Davis is a really good three, okay two, and more just of a vertical guy. They cannot run the football to save their lives out of the shotgun, and their offense is a shotgun offense. So, you know, like, talent-wise, they're not that as deep as people think. And I'd say this, defensively, injuries caught up to them, both in the back end and, obviously, Vaughn not being there. So I expected a 14-point win for Cincinnati.
Wow. Dan Orlovsky here with us. You also go back to the deadline. We were sitting here talking about them going and getting Josh Jacobs. Didn't happen. Them going to get Christian McCaffrey. He gets traded to the Niners. Imagine they had run CMC yesterday.
Yeah, you know what, and that's fair, Zach. I'm with that. I just think philosophically they have to adjust as well. You know, I said this about Kansas City last year. Kansas City was so shotgunny and so RPO-based. Your offensive line's always catching. You're never firing off. It's the same with Buffalo. They're always catching as an offensive line because they're pass first, RPO second, run third. And I think, yes, a more dynamic back certainly would help. But I would also say, like, just – identity philosophically, they got to figure out a way to calm themselves down. And Zach, they got to figure out a way to be built to win in January, not September, October, which they can do with anybody. Win in January.
I also think it is too. They put too much on the plate to Josh Allen. I get it. You pay the quarterback as much as you do. And I know that he does have some turnovers, obviously, but he was their run game all throughout the year.
Totally. And you watched it in it. It's fair to say that Josh Allen missed Brian Daboll. It's fair to say the Buffalo Bills offense missed Brian Daboll. And I just think, like, if you're going to ask me one thing for Josh that they've got to get him back to, they got to get him back to being settled down. That was a big thing of that 2.5-year surge that he had. He played such a settled game, even though he's such an incredible physical athlete. They got to get him back to that. And there's a lot of parts that are connected to that.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky. On the other side, Cincinnati, do they still get disrespected, or do you think that's an overblown storyline?
No, they get disrespected still for sure. But there's also like a little bit of a caveat to that, Zach, because we have Kansas City, and it's because we have Josh Allen and Buffalo, and there's a lot of glamour to those teams, and we've seen them play incredible games and have amazing moments. Cincinnati's as well coached as anybody on the defensive side of the football, as anybody. That's including New England and Bill Belichick. And then offensively, they've got the quarterback, and I said this morning, and people are losing their minds. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL. Now, Patrick Mahomes is the best player. He's the most talented player, and if I had to pick one or the other, I'm taking Patrick. But when it comes to like the quarterbacking of timing and rhythm, anticipation, listening to your feet, throwing into windows, those things Joe's the best at right now.
When you look back at the previous years, and I know each game is different, but the Bengals have just shut them down in the second half and they've won three straight. What does Cincinnati need to continue to do up against Kansas City, and what do you think Kansas City will change and alter their approach this time around in their fourth matchup?
Yeah, well, one, what's the health of Patrick and his legs, right? So that's the great unknown right now. I think that this is a different Kansas City offense than last year, though. And we saw it a little bit when they met in the regular season. Kansas City is way more comfortable putting two and three tight ends on the field. They're way more comfortable getting into condensed splits and running the football. They're way more comfortable putting Patrick underneath center and being a little bit more committed to being disciplined on second downs. So I think for Cincinnati, it's, you know, like you want to continue to challenge Kansas City to do that, and will they be in that mindset? Because I said this, is Kansas City going to do that in a winner-go-home game, fourth quarter, 9 minutes to go, down five? Or are they going to go, well, Patrick, it's second and eight, we got to throw the football? You know, and that's Kansas City's bread and butter, is getting you into the mindset. So that's going to be the fascinating kind of test match between these two staffs.
I really think, and it's so bizarre because you're saying this about Mahomes, but with that uncertainty of the ankle, if this gets into a shootout, I love Cincinnati this weekend.
Well, and just because, you know, Steve Spagnuolo, who's a phenomenal defensive mind, and I love getting the opportunity to talk with him a couple weeks back, they really are two defenses. They're the defense that wants to play in their zone concepts and, you know, allow their rush to get home a little bit. And then they're the defense that wants to play pressure and play man. And the reality is that's the one offense in the NFL you don't want to do that to. And it'll be really, like, I'll be fascinated to watch to see if Spags is going to line up and just play man coverage. Because if he does, it tries to line him up because of those three backup offensive linemen. Joe is so equipped to handle that and make sure that the talent on the perimeter is a big part of the game.
Dan Orlovsky on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Get into Dallas, and let me preface this by saying I thought Dallas was going to win yesterday up against San Francisco. Clearly that did not happen. I look at Dak, and I always say this about Dak. He's a good quarterback, but there's a difference from a good quarterback to a great quarterback, and I just don't see him ever winning a Super Bowl in this league, Dan.
Yeah, I thought Dallas would get beat worse than they did yesterday. I thought that would be a 10-point win for San Francisco. I'm such a fan of what they do. Dallas' defense deserved to win that football game. Dallas' defense deserved to win last year. Twice, 2 years in a row, they've given up 23 points and they've given up 19 points and lost. Here's the truth about Dallas and Dak Prescott. Number one, they needed him to outplay Brock Purdy, and he couldn't. And if we had to pinpoint it to one single thing, both him and Brock Purdy dropped back 13 times yesterday on third down, Zach, okay? Brock Purdy in those 13 dropbacks had 7 first downs and a QBR of 71. Dak Prescott on those 13 dropbacks had 2 first downs and a QBR of 5. That's a tough pill to swallow if you're Dallas. And I think that everybody, Cowboys Nation, Cowboys organization, fans, even some analysts, myself probably included, we want Dak the person to become Dak the player.
Yeah.
Meaning we all know as a person, he's a superstar. We root for him. He's a great human being. He's not a great player. He's a good player. And that's good, but the expectation is we want you to be great. And the downside for them yesterday, Zach, is they didn't need him to be great. They needed him to be good, and he wasn't that.
And he couldn't elevate the team. Once Pollard went out, I picked Dallas, like I told you, I got extremely nervous because Pollard's been their most valuable player on the offensive side of the ball this year.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I wasn't surprised by the performance by Dak. I've seen it all year. I've just been called a hater. He hasn't seen the field well. He hasn't listened to his feet. He's forced the football. He hasn't gotten through progressions 2, 3, and 4 when they're down the field. Any quarterback can get through 2, 3, or 4 progressions when it's a check down. 2, 3, 4 down the field. That was the case again yesterday. Now everyone goes, well, why, Dan? I don't know that answer. I'm not there every day. Do I think he's forcing the football? Yes. Do I think he's getting stuck on CeeDee Lamb? Yes. Do I think he's feeling the pressure of the expectation and the burden of it? Yes, I do. And they've got to figure out a way this offseason to get him back to being a much more consistent player.
For you, Dan, and you've been around the league a long time, whether it was playing or covering it, I know everyone talks about Shanahan first, but what individually stands out to you about what Brock Purdy's been able to do?
That dude trusts his eyes. He is convicted about what his eyes tell him. Like, you watch him on those third downs. You watch him on some of those throws late. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't waver. My eyes are telling me this window's popping open. Rip it. Like, to see it, trust it, and rip it part of quarterbacking, that kid has. And there's something to be said about it. Like, I always say this. Just look at a quarterback's back leg, man. When they put that back leg in the ground, what's it look like? does it look like a Roger Clemens fastball off a bump? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that kid has it. He knows where his eyes are supposed to be, and he trusts what they tell him. And that gives you a lot of confidence.
They could have two games left, and they're in the NFC title game. Is that enough so far with what he's done to make you think he's going to be the starter week one next year?
And he would have to absolutely implode next week for that to not be the case. You know, San Francisco's in a situation. I don't know if we're calling it good, bad, sticky, whatever. But what he's done is very impressive. I don't know how great he can be. I don't know how great Kyle Shanahan needs him to be. Kyle wants one thing out of his quarterback process. Think quickly. Be a point guard. Distribute. He's done that to an A-plus level in many situations. So unless he implodes on the road in Philadelphia, yeah, I think it's hard to dispute.
On the other side, Jalen Hurts. We all know what he did last year, but it ended in not the best way where it looked really bad up against the Buccaneers. I know they have to put him in the right situation. They did that going on out there and getting A.J. Brown. But I was at that game in Philly, and I know he's had a remarkable season. Everyone's talking about the shoulder injury. It didn't even look like it affected him one bit up against the Giants.
Yeah, so, and every time I talk about Jalen, I think it's important for me to do this, Zach. Like, I was wrong on that, on Jalen Hurts. I was wrong on the whole handling of the Wentz situation with him. He's blown me away, man. And I think I took him for granted even this year. You know, that six-week stretch where he doesn't play, I took for granted how good he actually is. And not only that, Zach, how much he impacts everybody else on their offense. And that's why Nick Sirianni's crazy for calling him Michael Jordan, but I get it. I get it because how much easier everybody else's job is because of Jalen Hurts being there and all the different stuff he does in their zone read and RPO game. Dude, the angles that he creates for their offensive line, the holes that he holds onto with backside defenders for their backs, man, the butterfly effect of him being there, and he's the only guy in the NFL that can do it. Right now in that offense, he's the only guy in the NFL. He's been remarkable.
And I know that there's probably other answers here, but I don't know if there's two better leaders in the NFL right now, talking players-wise, than Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow, Dan.
You know, it's funny, Zach, because we were in the green room today at ESPN right before NFL Live, and I kind of made the comment to Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark, and Lauren Brothers. I said, they're kind of the same dudes. You know, like, they're both of these guys that probably put in more hours of work than we could even comprehend, and because their style of play is representative of growth and development and work. It's not this jaw-dropping, God-given, I can't understand that talent. Jalen physically, yes, a little bit, but just the growth and development of all the things of quarterbacking that matter when it comes to their specific skill sets, they're kind of the same guy. And the unwavering confidence and the mission, the Terminator-type mission, yeah, I agree.
All right, who wins? Who's going to the Super Bowl, Dan?
Yeah, I think it's Kansas City and Philly. I got to dive in a little bit more on Kansas City's defense. It's hard for me to comprehend Patrick Mahomes losing to the same person four times in a row. And as great as San Francisco is, I think that the quarterback run game is a great denominator in that game.
Dan Orlovsky, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, so we're working backwards today. We started things off talking about the Sunday games with the disappointment from the Buffalo Bills, the dominance by the Cincinnati Bengals, and then how it all wrapped up on divisional round weekend with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys showing up in the biggest spot where Dak Prescott was not able to elevate the team, and San Francisco continues their winning ways, and that was a back-and-forth game. And then in the fourth quarter, you saw that San Francisco was the better team. Still a door open for the Cowboys, but they were not able to capitalize and maybe send that game into overtime or just win the game outright. Let's go to Saturday, though, because Hickey, I think this gets lost in the shuffle just because of the statement that Philadelphia made up against the Giants and how great Hurts was with the shoulder injury, how it looked like it was a non-factor. Then we talked about what transpired on Sunday when you have the Bills just get blown out. Even if you thought the Bengals were going to win, I don't think many people thought the Bengals were going to win this game by the margin that they did. In the Cowboys and Niners game, when you have those two iconic brands, everyone's going to be talking about that the next day, especially when Dak Prescott in a big spot projectile vomits all over the place. You look at Kansas City and Jacksonville, the conversation all throughout the week, and we kind of hit this one right on the head, was this is going to be a game where if you minus the 9.5 points, and I know that didn't end up winning, you were going to get that moment of where you're going to be uncomfortable when there could be a backdoor cover, where there was always that thought that Kansas City was going to win the game. It was just by how many points. And towards the end, when you have the Jaguars make that field goal and make it from a 10-point game to a 7-point game, if you minus the 9.5 points of Kansas City, you ended up losing the bet. But that game took a turn and kind of maybe humbled everyone on the thought of that Kansas City was just going to easily win. I never went into that game thinking that Jacksonville could win the game, but the moment when Mahomes gets hurt, and now we know it's a high ankle sprain, he's going to play this weekend. The question is just how effective he could be. But when you saw Chase Daniel, who actually did get on, or Chad Henne, who got on the field and actually did lead a touchdown drive, when Henne gets inserted into the game, I'm thinking that Mahomes isn't going to be able to come back. And you know, for the second half, not only was he able to come back, but they end up winning the game. So it was impressive that even with how bad and how much that ankle was hurting him, how you still were able to have Kansas City win that game, because there was a real shot there. And I was in a press box in Philadelphia where the entire press box was watching the game before, waiting for the Eagles and Giants game, where a lot of people go, uh-oh, here's the one thing that can't happen for Kansas City, because we all know Mahomes is the great eraser. If you lose Mahomes, then you were thinking, yeah, Jacksonville definitely alive to go win that game, but it ended up not mattering.
That was, I think, one of the most impressive performances of the weekend, is just the ability for not only Patrick Mahomes to come back, play on one leg, and again, he can't even hand the ball off or barely be able to hand the ball off running on that one leg, but making plays, but also, too, whether it's the Chiefs defense, it was a run game stepping up. Like, obviously, it was a close game, right? They won by 7 points, but it's still one of those things where Jacksonville's a really damn good team, and the fact that you could still win a game when you kind of go through that adversity and you have your best player in the NFL playing so, you know, physically hampered, everyone else stepped up. It's why the Chiefs have, you know, it's kind of cliche to say, but they have that championship DNA.
I was surprised how long, by the way, it took for them to actually pull him originally, because when he's limping around the field, he was struggling to walk. He was clearly just on one side of his body. I was surprised that they had him finish out that drive, and then it was okay. Reed said, you're not going back on the field until you go inside the locker room and get some x-rays done and get some MRIs done.
I mean, he couldn't, like, I'm even shot, you know, just basically in the shotgun the whole time. He couldn't even barely get under center with, like, how busted up his leg was. And then, too, I'm a you. Like, I was like, is it his knee? Is it his ankle? Because, like, and when he gets, and he goes down, you see kind of a knee twist, and
it was a nasty
he's
looking
bending
injury.
Over. And it's like, is he grabbing his knee? It's like, oh, my God, is this torn ACL? Like, so your mind races a million different places, but.
And here's the thing. I know he came back, and a lot of that is probably adrenaline of in the moment, in the game. And today, I guess the news is encouraging. He's as good as what they thought he could be. I said this to Dan, I'll say it to you. If that game gets into a shootout, and I know he got the extra day of rest, I know that it's only Monday and that game's not till Sunday, But if that game gets into a shootout where it's back and forth, Kansas City going up against Cincinnati, I just wonder how that ankle is going to be able to hold up when you're going to need Mahomes to just be surgical, and you're going to need Mahomes to be the leader of that offense, because we know right now he's the MVP of the league. And if you don't have Mahomes, and he's not at 100% clearly, but where is that number at percentage-wise, and will it affect the game coming up this weekend? That now turns into probably entering this weekend. Like, you look at the four storylines of these four teams, that may be the biggest storyline, because it could directly impact that game. For, you know, the Bengals, you know what the storyline is. It's trying to right the wrong of last year and get to the Super Bowl and win it. For the 49ers, the first thing you think of is Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. And for the Eagles, it's just Jalen Hurts carrying that franchise with Nick Sirianni right now. But going into this weekend, that's the most intriguing storyline to me, is just how healthy of Mahomes' effort you're going to get up against a team that he's lost to the last three times he's played.
Outside of the Super Bowl, this, I think, would be the most impressive win in Patrick Mahomes' career if they beat the Bengals on Sunday, in part because not only is he playing hurt, his injury now changes the way he plays and takes away what makes him so great. Like, one of the reasons and one of the ways that Patrick Mahomes makes these highlight reel throws is out of the pocket, extending things on their own, throwing the ball deep. And in the second half, when he came back after the ankle injury and was all taped up, he made every single pass in the pocket, which is the second time this year and a half that he's made every pass in the pocket. So, again, he's never sitting there the entire time. And if you are now going against a defense that's already given you fits throughout your three games you played in your career, and you are now, you know, limited and or you can't do one of the few things that makes you better than every other quarterback in the NFL, it would be impressive as hell if he still finds a way to win this game.
We also talked about motivation, and they used that story in Cincinnati this week, all leading up to the game, about the Bills and Chiefs already having the tickets for the neutral site. We know what the motivation is here for Kansas City, and it's a rare spot where Kansas City ever needs motivation, but they lost to this team three times in a row. They lost in the AFC title game last year, and they lost them the year before that, or it should be at the end of the regular season, and then they lost to them this year too in the regular season. So you have Mahomes, who really doesn't have a lot of blemishes on his resume with how great of a player he is. If he loses this game, and I brought this up last week, I'll bring it up again, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be saying Joe Burrow is now the best quarterback in football because Joe Burrow would have beat him for the fourth straight time. So it's in a weird spot where Kansas City can actually use the motivation card coming up this week. You said that other than the Super Bowl, if Mahomes wins in a shootout this week, this could be the most impressive win. Up until this point, what do you think the most impressive win is? Because we have all the no-look passes, but for me, the first thing I think of is the divisional round last year, down with 13 seconds to go, how you get down the field, and then you eventually march down the field in overtime to go win that game. I would say those two drives is probably what stands out to me.
Yeah, outside of the Super Bowl, I mean, the down 24-0 against Texans. The Texans is another one. Like, there's a lot of games where we can just go back and forth about the greatest of Mahomes. Trying to think of anything else better than that. Like I said, the Bills yesterday or last year was great. Probably those two are the right ones, right? That 2 and 3, you say whatever word you want, but I think, yeah, you went on Sunday. I think that this win catapults above those two for sure.
Now, I got to give you credit, but then I also got to take a shot at you real quickly. So the credit part is you did say that the Cowboys were going to lose, and you were right. Now, what did you predict? 38-13, it was going to be San Francisco?
38-13, an absolute beatdown.
So you were wrong on that, but a team that I think you've been a little disrespectful to this year are the Philadelphia Eagles. And look at the Eagles, where was there a bigger farce all throughout this week with this, other than this Jalen Hurts injury? Because right away, when he threw that ball down the left sideline to Devontae Smith, it felt like that game was over very early in Philadelphia. Hurts just continues to shine and continues to impress. But you picked the Giants to win the game outright. That was just an ass-kicking by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that was... I was going to say disappointed by the Giants, but I'll say it's more impressive by the Eagles, in part 100%. Because not only with Jalen Hurts looking a lot healthier than I anticipated, to be honest, but even too, I don't really buy into a notion that you can just flip a switch come playoff time. Eagles were scuffling the way the regular season ended, and I just didn't buy that you could just go, okay, playoff time, boom, let's do it. And I will say they kind of put that notion to bed a little bit. They flipped the switch without a doubt.
Now, I thought the Eagles were going to win. I thought it was going to be a tighter game. But to me, with the talent that they have in Philly, it was insanity to me all throughout the week how people just thought the Eagles were going to look vulnerable and were going to drop off. I know the injury to Hurts was a concern going in. He did return that last week of the season. They were barely using him with the playbook that they usually do run. But I'm not shocked in the slightest that Philadelphia, with the talent that they had, found a way to outclass the Giants.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.